Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Strikeout Bros once again, Lasha and Pablo. This is episode 19, and today's going to be a really fun one. We're getting really close to the trade deadline, which is happening in 6 days. And we have a lot to talk about, that's for sure. And today is my birthday. I'm a 48-year-old man now, and the Mets came through for the kid. They destroyed the Yankees 12-2. What else can I say? Not only did we do that, we swept them in that two-game series, two games apiece. Destroyed them at Citi Field, and we destroyed them at Yankee Stadium. Oh, man. 3 games in a row for us, and we're looking sharp. Atlanta's next. What's up, Lash? How's it going?
What's up, man? Happy birthday, man. Thanks, pretty bro. Amazing, man. Another year around the sun. That's awesome.
Exactly.
And, can't believe we're already at the trade deadline. It's my opinion, I'll ask you this question later, but I have a question to ask you regarding the trade deadline. But anyway, let's get to it.
Yeah, so today's episode, the name of the episode is called We're Going to Have to Work with What We Have. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there's a lot of teams competing, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. So there's basically 6 teams out there, right, that are looking in to the wild card. There's 3 in the American League and there's 3 in the National League. And they're not only looking in, they're playing excellent baseball. So anything can happen in the next week. And if you guys are really interested in baseball and you're true baseball fans and you have a MLB network set up in your house, man, there's a lot of great action coming up in the next couple of days. Like, the matchups are going to be insane. And we're going to be talking about that. Lash is going to be talking about, you know, the trade deadline and what's going on out there and who he thinks is going to be available and where he thinks they're going to go and who needs them most. This is what we're going to be talking about today. You know, it's going to be really fun. And like I said, you know, the trade deadline is right around the corner. Everybody's competing in a, you know, crowded wild card situation, and we're all wondering, you know, what these teams are going to do to bolster their lineups and rotations. You know, either that or, you know, they're going to have to work with what they have because there's not a lot to, you know, offer out there. Like, a lot of the sellers, you know, there's a little bit of sellers, a lot of people still competing, and it's exciting, you know. It's exciting. Like I said, in both leagues, we have 3 teams looking in, playing really excellent baseball. And I'm excited, man. What's up, Lash? What do you think? What's going on with you out there with, you know, your situation in Atlanta and, the Braves, and, you know, we have to talk about Ozzy Albies, you know what I'm saying? Another one goes down before we even start this conversation about the trade deadline, you know? So if anybody's hungry for help, it's going to be Atlanta, you know? I think that they're scared right now, you know, where the Mets are closing in, Ozzy Albies is out, Acuna's out, Strider's out. You know, they're losing a lot of great players that they need to, you know, get far in the postseason. Right now, they're hanging by a thread. That's what I think. But, you know, you know better than I do. You're the, you know, Braves fan. You're a true Orioles fan, but your secondary team is the Braves. So tell me, tell me.
Yeah, man. And also, they need bullpen help, man. Their back end of the bullpen is just awful. Raisel Iglesias is not a reliable closer anymore. They traded. The problem with the Braves is they don't have a deep farm system, so in order to get another starter or another outfield, another bat, you're going to have to trade some prospects. But I don't know if they have, you know, even second-tier prospects that they can trade, that they can get someone back, like an outfielder or a pitcher. They're like, you know what's the one thing I noticed? Every team that's in the playoffs, if the season ran today, they all, every single one of them is looking for starting pitching. It's the hot commodity right now. Starting pitching. The Mets are looking for it. Yankees, Atlanta, Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, the Dodgers, even though they seem like they have everybody, but, you know, they have their problems too. But it's just amazing. And Atlanta's problem is their offense is just not producing. Losing Acuna was big, but, you know, Marcelo Ozuna has been great for them. He's had a great year. He's one of the all-stars for them. Albies, he was good, but he's more reliable defensively than offensively, but he got hurt. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to have to – they're not going to be able to get a top-tier pitching guy. They're not going to be able to get the guys from, like, Chicago, Garrett Crochets, or whoever. I can't think of the other guys that are free agent – or, you know, the guy from Q-Ball from Detroit, all those guys. You're going to need to trade top-tier prospects. And exactly. If your farm system is – deep like the Orioles, then you have a higher advantage than everybody else. And what Baltimore is going to try to do, one thing I like about Baltimore is they're not going to try to trade for one and done guys. They're going to trade for guys that have years of controllability. So if I can get a Garrett Crochet or the guy Q-Ball from Scooball, whatever his name is, from Detroit, he's got 2 to 3 years of controllability left. So they have him for 2 to 3 years without having to give him any money. But by then, the new ownership have already settled in. They'll have the money. If they've won a championship, they'll create more revenue. So by then, the time to re-sign him, they'll have the money to either re-sign him or let him go. So I think Baltimore and the Yankees and Houston in the American League are the top three teams that have a good amount of prospects and players that they could trade. You know, even like the Yankees, for example, like they could trade Gleyber Torres, who's having an awful year with the Yankees, but he's one of those players. He just needs a new place, and, you know, change of scenery might help him, because he's not a horrible player. His first year, he had a rookie year. He was like killing the ball. Everyone thought he was gonna be like Judge, and he just wasn't. He lost it. And this is his contract year, and he's just pooped a bit, to say the least. And so they might be willing to trade players. You know, if you're not producing, get out of here. We'll get somebody else. If we can get a second tier, or, you know, we can get a starting pitcher for them. Yankees have pitching problems too. It's just, I don't know. But as Atlanta goes, they need bullpen help. There's not much you can really do with the offense. It just, yeah, injuries are going to happen. Duvall's been okay for them. He's been okay. He's not Acuna offensively, but he plays the field well. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, so I don't know. What about the Mets?
I mean, listen. At this point, I feel like we need to just drive until the wheels fall off. We're doing well. You know, everybody's looking for pitching, and they're looking for, you know, some sort of offensive, like power to join the team. But I think that the Mets are perfect where they're at. And with the addition of McNeil, you know, changing his batting style and coming up and being productive in the last couple of games, you know, they were saying that he was trying to slap the ball into the holes, but they re-instructed him, and they told him to just hit the ball as hard as he can. And look, he's getting home runs. He's winning games for us. Today, he got 2 doubles. Like, you know, he almost hit it out of the park, and Soto pretty much stole it from you know, he just robbed him. And he's a different animal now. So it's like, you know, the player we didn't have, the automatic out, you know, he's getting paid so much money. So, of course, they kept him in the lineup. And now he's a productive, you know, machine. So that's kind of like, you know, getting a trade going. You know what I'm saying? It's like an internal trade. It's kind of crazy, you know. So now all these guys are fiery. They're all competing for, you know, play time. And we're getting Senga back. I believe he's pitching in the second game of the series against Atlanta. So that's kind of like, you know, trading for some internally as well. You know what I'm saying? Because he was out for the whole season. And now we're going to get another arm to contribute, you know. So I feel like, yeah, you know, the bullpen's been struggling. But, you know, after the All-Star break, we came back and the bullpen's been all right, you know. And I'm satisfied with what's going on. The first series, it bothered me a little because, you know, we played Miami and we were supposed to take 3 out of 4, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel, you know. But it's baseball, you know. They have to get the ball rolling again. You know, we split it. You know, we won 2. They won 2. You know, we won the last one. Then we went into the Yankee Stadium and we just destroyed them and took 2. The first game was tough, you know. We won 3-2. Second game, we won 12-2, you know. So it seems like we're starting to get the ball rolling again. We destroyed, you know, Mr. Cole again. And he hasn't been able to, you know, put it together. And Lindor is just a machine right now. Ever since they moved him to the first slot in the lineup, he's been an offensive machine, a force, you know? He already has 20 home runs. I think he has 21 home runs now. 21 home runs and 20 stolen bases, you know what I'm saying? So he's 2020 club, and we still have a lot of baseball left, you know? Nemo was, you know, struggling today, but, you know, the supporting cast is great. You know, Taylor hit a home run. Vientos hit a home run. Lindor hit a home run. You know what I'm saying? Lindor hit 2. And I'm just feeling this energy, you know, and the Oh My God movement, you know, as much as I hate to say that, but, you know, this movement has been amazing for us. And we've been just steamrolling, you know. And, you know, we're only 2 games out of behind Atlanta, you know, and Atlanta is holding on to that first wild card, that bye week situation. And they've had it for a long time. But I told you a couple of weeks ago that I had a feeling that we were going to be able to catch up. And what a perfect time to, you know, be playing them.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Series at Citi Field. It's a 4-game series. I believe we're 2 games behind. And we're going to go for that slot, you know? And if we can hold that number 1 slot in the wild card division, then we solidify, you know, our postseason berth. That's all I have to say on that. What do you think? I think that you should be telling me. Yeah, right now you're speechless, brother. I said a lot.
Yeah, no, I think the Mets could catch Atlanta. Atlanta's free falling for some reason. Like I said, I don't know what's going on, but it's about catching teams at the right time. But I would not be surprised if Atlanta lost 3 out of 4 to the Mets. Because you know, they're just struggling. They're just not producing the runs, and their pitching is not doing well, you know. But, you know, and the Mets are just, the offense is producing. It's all about, you know, clicking at the right time. And the most important time to click is when you're facing your division rivals, because that's more important than facing someone in the NL Central, because your goal is to try to catch up with and try to win the division. But it's going to be hard for the Mets because Philadelphia is so good. And the crazy thing about Philadelphia is they also have a lot of injuries, but they still have a major lead. That's the nice thing about the Philadelphia Phillies. They have a major lead in the East that they can afford to have a little slump. It's not going to hurt them because Atlanta keeps losing. But the Mets are right back there. So, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe next week when we do a podcast, you know, the Mets could be in second place. Who knows? But it's kind of exciting to see how the Mets are doing. I think they do need pitching help. Cody Senga is like getting a middle of the trade season kind of acquisition back without having to trade for anything. So, but the thing is I don't know how he will do. I don't want him to be in the situation that Gerrit Cole is in, where
they
rushed him back and he's not good and he's falling apart and, you know, he's falling apart at the seams. You don't want that. So, but from what you're saying, it looks like the Mets are pretty happy with his starts in the minors. He's doing well. He's got control. Now, the minors are different than, because they said that, they said the same thing about Cole. Oh, he's doing great in Somerset. You know, that's the AAA team in New York now. He's doing great, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened? He came in and they just, he's, you know, lost his control ability. So, and for Senga, control ability is more than anything, because he's not a fireball pitcher. He's not the type of guy who's going to throw gas at you. He can once in a while, but he's not that type of pitcher.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. You're 100% right. It's probably going to take him a couple of starts to, you know, get it together, but you never know. Let's see what happens, you know. I'm excited to see him back, you know. Like you said, we need pitching. Well, guess what? There it is. And we didn't have to make any moves for him. He was always there. He just wasn't available, you know. But let's talk about these three teams in the, you know, looking into the wild card in the American League, right? So we have the Boston Red Sox, right? They're one game out of the last wild card slot. And they just lost a series to Colorado, which is interesting because Colorado sucks. All right, let's just be honest, right? And then they're moving on to the Yankees next, all right? And the Yankees haven't been playing well. We all know that. We don't have to talk about that. But Boston can totally take advantage of the situation. You know, they only won 4 out of their last 10. And, you know, I want to see if they can make a push, you know. And we know for a fact that they're not selling because they're one game out. And they have a shot. They have a shot, right? And then right behind them, you have Seattle. Seattle is 3.5 games back, right? They're, you know, looking at that last wild card slot as well. And they just finished up with the Angels, right? And they won the series. And they're going into Chicago, another team that, you know, isn't going to make the postseason, right? For a 3-game series, right? They're going into Chicago. They're going to try to stay afloat and fight for that last card, right? They won 3 out of the last 10. But Chicago's only won 27 games this season. So this is a chance for them to also right the ship and try to get back into the race, you know? And then you have Tampa Bay, who's the third team looking in to the wild card, right? They're 4.5 games back, right? And they won 6 out of their last 10 games, right? They just finished splitting a series with the Yankees, and they're holding the number one slot in the wild card. So if you can play against the Yankees and they're still holding on to that slot, that means that you have a shot, right? And they just currently won a series against Toronto. And guess what? They're currently in a series with Toronto, and they won the first game, right? And I think they also have a shot, you know? They're moving in. They're moving in. The Yankees, number one slot. Minnesota and Kansas City. Kansas City, you know, they have that last slot, so they have the most to worry about. Okay, they can easily slip, right? And then you have the National League, right? The three teams looking in are San Diego, Arizona, and Pittsburgh. So San Diego's a half a game out of the last slot, right? And they were able to take 2 out of 3 against the Guardians. So we know that San Diego's playing really good baseball if they're able to take 2 out of 3 against the Guardians. You agree? You hear what I'm saying? That the Guardians are a force.
Yes, Cleveland is the best team in the AL Central. I think they're going to win that division. Now, Minnesota's right up there. They are playing a little better. But Cleveland right now, their biggest need going into a deadline would be middle relief help, a starting pitcher. Those are my two needs that they need. If they can get themselves a starter and a, you know, someone that can go between the starter and Class A, who's their all-star closer, then I think they have a good shot. They've been a really surprised team, man. No one talks about them. They're a really under the radar team. They are dangerous. I would not want to play them in the postseason if the season started today.
You're right. And the funny thing is that they're currently playing the Nationals, and they just took the first one out of the series, right? And after they finish with the Nats, you know who they're playing? They're playing your guys, Baltimore. So that's going to set the tone for them, you know? So We know that they can beat Washington. Washington has great pitching, though, so it's going to be, you know, an interesting series. But when they go into, you know, into that series with Baltimore, it's going to be really exciting baseball. So like I said, you know, for you guys out there that love baseball, I think that that San Diego series versus Baltimore is going to be really good, because San Diego's fighting for their lives and Baltimore is trying to keep that, you know, number one slot in their division, right? And then we have Arizona. Arizona is one game back, right? And they're on fire as well, right? Because they won 7 out of their last 10 games, beating the Cubs, right? And they beat up on the Cubs, and they were supposed to, the rubber match they against Kansas City is today, I believe. So they beat up on the Cubs like they were supposed to. And Kansas City is also fighting for that wild card. They're the last ones. They're the third wild card. So Arizona is playing a pivotal game, and so is KC, you know. So it's going to be super interesting. And then after that, they're going into a series with Pittsburgh. So you see how all this is lining up? This is a great television, you know what I'm saying? This is a great matchup. You know, Arizona's going to fight Pittsburgh. You know, they're fighting KC right now, who's also, you know, fighting for that wild card. So everybody wants to win. All these games count. These games are going to be they're going to be played like a playoff game, you know. They're not going to let these pitchers suffer out there. They're going to be looking at pitch counts. They're going to be looking at everything. It's going to be real, real serious, you know, games in the next couple of days. And then Pittsburgh, man. Pittsburgh's looking in, right? They're, I believe, one game out as well, just like the Diamondbacks. And they won 8 out of their last 10, okay? Which is pretty crazy. And the crazy thing about that is that they took 2 out of 3 against the Phillies. So you know they're good, you know? And they took 2 out of 3 from St. Louis as well, which shows you that they're probably the most dangerous bunch out of the group. Out of those 6 teams that are looking in, I think Pittsburgh's the most dangerous group. And, you know, like I said, Atlanta, number one slot in the wild card. The Mets are right behind that, and St. Louis is third. So it's going to be really interesting baseball. You know, we already spoke about the Mets and, you know, what they're capable of doing and what I think should be done. I think they should just keep it the way it is and hope that Senga is able to produce. And the resurgence of McNeil is pretty amazing. And now we're going to come to the part where Lash is going to talk about who is moving and the rumors he's heard and where they should go and who needs him the most.
Yes. So the first pitcher that is on the trade mill would be Jack Flaherty of the Detroit Tigers. He last year played for the Cardinals, and the Baltimore Orioles traded for him. And he was an awful acquisition at the trade deadline. He didn't do a squat. So Baltimore's like, all right, go home. Go somewhere else. And he's having an okay year in Detroit this year. But he's trade bait. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. I don't know what they can get. But if he has the type of year that he had before he went to Baltimore – and the type of years having now with the Detroit Tigers, then he's going to be a great under-the-radar acquisition at the trade deadline. If he has a year like he did last year when he came to Baltimore, where he finished with a 6.75 ERA, it is just going to be awful, and he's just going to be run out of Detroit as well. The next guy, who's a very hot commodity, would be Luis Robert Jr. of the Chicago White Sox. You know, he's on a team that's only definitely rebuilding. He's a great outfielder. He would be great with a lot of teams. I heard rumors that, like, maybe Baltimore would trade this star prospect for him. Luis Roberts would have years of controllability. And then also Baltimore's thinking about trading their current center fielder, Cedric Mullins. So if you get rid of Mullins, you get Roberts. There you go. That would be great. You have a replacement for Mullins, but they also have prospects they can call back. So Luis Roberts, he did miss about 53 games due to a flex strain. So far, he has 36 home runs and 40 stolen bases this year, which is doing pretty well this year. The dream place would be the Philadelphia Phillies would be great. They need offensive help with Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner and Bryce Harper. You know, they all have come on the IL at some points. So who knows if they'll come back. But and a friendly hitter ballpark like Citizens Bank Park, Philadelphia would be a great place for Luis Roberts Jr. Next guy on the list is the star is a closing pitcher. His name is Tanner Scott of the Miami Marlins. He originally was about the Baltimore Orioles, but they let him go because he has the stuff. He just had no controllability. He went to Miami and made a new name for himself, and now he's a hot commodity for trade bait as a closer. There are a lot of teams that would love to have him. I think he only has about 18 saves on a team that's only has, what, like 30-plus wins, not even. So it'd be hard.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. The ideal places would be for him would be Kansas City. They're in playoff contention right now. They're right now a wild card team. Kansas City would be the best fit. The Phillies would also be a good landing spot. I don't know what it is about Philadelphia. They always have bullpen issues. The year they lost or whatever it is, under Joe Girardi, they had a great season, and the bullpen would always collapse. Every time their closer came in, you knew the wheels were going to fall off. So they always need bullpen help. Baltimore might be interested in bringing him back, but Baltimore to bring him back, because I think they have years of controllability with Tanner Scott. That's the only way they would bring him back. And then he could be your setup, man. Next year, you could have Tanner Scott, Yunior Cano, and Felix Bautista as your 1-2-3-7-8-9 punch for the Orioles. But I don't know. I think they would have to give up some decent prospects. He's been pretty good, so I don't see him going there. They have Kimbrough. He's been okay lately, but I'd rather have Scott, but who knows. The next big guy that's on the trade bait was also Miami, because they're also selling everybody off, would be Jazz Chisholm Jr. I love this guy. He's fast. He plays with emotion. He wears his heart. He wears his emotion on his sleeve. He's a really good player. He's fast. He can hit the home run. He plays good off field in that ballpark. I think the dream destination would be the Yankee Stadium. They definitely need more offense. You know what the problem with the Yankees is? It's not the offense. They just don't produce. They don't steal. They don't put pressure on teams. They don't produce runs besides home runs. And if you can't put pressure, the only guy that steals for the Yankees is Anthony Volpe. You need to put pressure. You need to put runners in on the base. You need to test the pitchers and try to steal. You get Josh Chisholm in New York, man, that's going to be a lot of pressure for defense. And then behind Judge or before Judge, forget about it. Because now you got to worry about, do I pitch to Judge? Do I let him walk? This and that. Mm-hmm. So it makes it harder. He'd be a great place. Yankees would be a great place for him. And that would be the second outfielder that the Yankees have from Miami. The other one was Stanton. He's so far, when he's not hurt, he's had a good year this year. Him and Chisholm will be reunited in New York. So that'd be interesting. And then, I know this is a long list, bear with me. Greg Crochet of the Chicago White Sox. He is a player that is a pitcher that is under controllability for 2 to 3 years. So there's a lot of teams that would love to have him. Some places I always recommend would be the Dodgers. They always need bullpen help. I mean, they always need starting help. That'd be great for them. And the Dodgers have a good farm system, so they could trade for top-tier prospects to the Chicago White Sox to get a Crochet to line them up with Glasnow and Smith and whoever, not Smith. Yeah. I can't think of the other starters.
I mean, they have Kershaw there, and he's supposed to be Kershaw. I think he came back, right? And then you have Yamamoto, who's out right now on the IL, and I believe he's going to be coming back really soon. So if they bring this guy in, then, they're going to be all right. They have to stay afloat as well because, there's a lot of great teams out there, and they're not building the teams the same way that the Dodgers did. So there's competition out there. The Dodgers have to worry, There's a lot of competition out there, and these are young ball clubs that are really hungry. So good luck to the Dodgers. Like I said, I never really liked the Dodgers, and I don't like the way they put their team together. But, hey, listen, money talks, right? But continue, sir. We're talking about these rumors and these guys that are going to be asking, these teams are going to be asking for a lot of prospects, and it's going to be serious. You have to be farm heavy to be able to even compete and get any one of these guys, being that there's not so many of them out there to grab.
The next guy is from the Oakland A's, outfielder Brent Rooker. He's been really productive for them. He's probably their best offensive player this year. And also their closer, Mason Miller, who's also a hot commodity from the A's. But he's been doing great for them this year. He's hit 22 home runs at home, and he's hit 30 on the road. So that's good. He's productive on the road, which is what you want, especially if you're a team that's in the playoffs. You want a guy that can produce for you under pressure situations, like playing in away stadiums during the postseason. Ideal location would be the Phillies. Once I feel like the Phillies are on everybody, but with all the injuries they have, Schwarber, Harper, and all the Trey Turner, all these guys, they're just looking for depth, and he'd make a good depth piece.
It's because the Phillies, it's one of those ball clubs that they started off really hot and they have an amazing lineup, and the problem with those guys is that they're getting older. Okay, so I'm pretty sure if we look it up right now, the Phillies are like one of the older ball clubs in the league. And you're going to see a lot of injuries. You're going to see, a lot of guys that are going to go down for a couple of weeks and, come back up. But these guys are so good that when they come right back up, they're super productive. So they have to try to figure out how to manage the lineup, so this way they can have that full squad when the postseason comes,
No, definitely. Next guy on the list would be catcher Elias Diaz. He was an all-star last year for the Colorado Rockies. As you know, Colorado's another team that's going to be selling at the trade deadline, they're another rebuilding team. So that'll be interesting. Destination-wise, the Yankees. I guess they do need a catcher. So that'd be good. He'd be better defensive catcher and offensively than who they have now for the Yankees. The next pitcher would be for the Los Angeles Angels, Carlos Estevez. He is a relief pitcher. He's a good closer. So far this year, he's produced about 400 plus points in fantasy. If that means anything. To me, that doesn't mean anything. But anyway, he's got a hot streak right now with 17 consecutive scoreless appearances, resulting in 12 saves. For a team that's rebuilding, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a team that's just a closer away, like Baltimore, like Atlanta, like the Mets, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion, they do need a closer, he would not be a bad addition. And I don't think you'd have to give up much to get him. So that's that'd be a good situation. Some other teams I wrote down as far as just American League team goes. So for your leaders, Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston. Baltimore, they need starting pitching and a closer. Cleveland, they need middle relief pitching and a starter. Houston needs a starting pitching and a first baseman. They let go of, I forgot the guy's name is, but they let go of their first baseman. He used to be on the Cubs. On the White Sox. They let him go, but they need a first baseman. So it'll be interesting who they can go after. For the wild card teams in the AL, the Yankees, they need offensive help. A guy I was thinking about they could get for the infield would be Luis Renfijo from the Los Angeles Angels. He'd be a great addition. Get rid of Torres, and you need that help. LeMahieu is not producing for much. The whole infield, and then Rizzo's been out. The whole infield for the Yankees is just underproduced. They play all right defensively, but they just don't produce runs. Twins-wise, Minnesota, they're a wild card team. They're the second wild card team. They need outfield help. The guy I was thinking of would be Taylor Ward, and also the starting pitcher is who they need. Kansas City is the third wild card team. They need offensive bat. I was thinking about someone like Brent Rooker from the Oakland Athletics. That'd be a good addition. And then I'm just going to put the two teams there fighting for the last spot. I was just going to go with Boston and Seattle. I think Tampa Bay, Detroit, and Texas, they're all going to be sellers. Tampa Bay's at 500. It's just going to be hard for them. They have players that they can get rid of. They have a really good farm system. They know how, they like analytics. So the one thing I like about Tampa Bay is there's a team that they know how to work numbers really well. They can take any player and make them look really good, and yes. That's what's made them so good. Now they haven't won a World Series, but they've like always competitive, and they don't have to give up. They don't have to give up much to get them. As far as Boston goes, one guy they are thinking about getting back and someone that wants to come back, well, he was on the Red Sox last year. His name is Justin Turner. He wanted to come back, but they couldn't, so he's in Toronto now. But since Toronto's on the verge of selling, which is interesting because Toronto, if I'm Toronto, I would sell everybody and try to build up the farm system, get rid of Vladimir Guerrero, get rid of all these other guys.
I know, but we spoke about that a couple of podcasts ago, and we talked about how they're forcing the fans to pay up early for those season tickets, and I don't think that they're going to get rid of Vladimir or Bichette, because if they do that, they're going to be hurting the fan base, and they're going to be really unhappy. But I agree, they should be sellers, and they should get rid of both of those guys and start fresh, because they had an amazing squad, and for some reason, it just didn't work out. So, you know what? Let's just start fresh. And that's the move right now. Let's start fresh. But so far, no word on that either. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. And then we're going to come down to the hit of the week now. And the hit of the week was Houston's Jordan Alvarez, right? He hit for the cycle, bro, which is pretty crazy. It's pretty amazing. You know how hard it is to do that. And even though he hit for that cycle, they still lost 6-4 to Seattle. You know, it's pretty crazy. You know, both of these teams are, you know, fighting as well. We'll see what they end up doing. I know Houston's not selling, because Houston just, you know, came out of nowhere and they started playing well again. And then, of course, the pitcher of the week, once again on this podcast, is Mr. Paul Skenes. He went 8.1 innings to be exact, right? Striking out 8, giving up only 4 hits, 2 earned runs, losing 2-1 to St. Louis. Another team that's fighting for that wild card slot. And that series was pretty amazing too, because they're both fighting for the same thing. You know? What do you think, Lash?
No, that is pretty amazing. Jordan Alvarez, he's been their best player offensively for the Houston Astros. Altuve is slowly coming around. And it's Paul Skenes is like easy to pick. It's just like every week I feel like we're picking him, but he makes it so easy because he's just so dominant and he's just excellent in all his starts. It's like, it's just, how could you not pick him? You know, everyone thinks we buy it. Oh, you just pick him because he's your favorite. No, we play him because he's just dominant.
Dominant. And Pittsburgh is fighting for their lives right now. And I won't be surprised if they steal that last wild card slot. I won't be surprised, bro. That's why I need the Mets to continue to do what they're doing so they can, you know, climb up that, you know, that ladder, because Pittsburgh is coming, all right? And now I have a very interesting question for you. This is the trivia question of the week. And this is you're going to get a couple of them because I know you're smart, you know, and you know your baseball. But it's a really good question. So we're talking about wild card situations and, you know, the end of the season coming around. Because, you know, we have about, you know, 60-something games left, maybe less. I think a little less than that. You know, I think going into the second half, we had 68 games. And we already played, what, 2 series? The Mets played already 6 games. So we have like 62 games left, something like that. And the question is, how many wild card teams have won the World Series?
Well, so, in baseball, it's very hard for a wild card team to get it because they have to play more games than everybody else because, and they don't get a long break to the way the new structure is. The one thing that I could think of, and they just won recently, I think the Philadelphia Phillies, the year they won, they were a wild card team. I want to go with four wild card teams that won. The question was how many teams. How many wild card teams? So my answer would be 4 wild card teams have won the World Series. Obviously, Arizona and Texas. Actually, I take that back. 2, because Texas was also a wild card team.
Yes,
I could name off the top. So that's 2 teams: Texas and Philadelphia. Who am I missing?
Okay, so Philadelphia is the wrong answer, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, the year they won, they I think they won the division. They didn't come through as a wild card, right? So we have the stuff from the beginning here. So we have the Florida Marlins, right?
What in about 90s, the Cubs?
Right, the Cubs are not there, right?
Okay.
The Angels in 2002 were a wild card.
That's right. I remember. Man, let me tell you something. I'll go back memory lane. I remember watching the Angels. And when they had the Rally Monkeys, that was a fun team. Remember that? They would have the Rally Monkeys in the stands, and people would go crazy. That was before Trout got there. But they were a good – that was a good team. I don't know what ever happened to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then right behind them was the Red Sox. They did it in 2004. You know, they had that good run, you know. And behind that was the Cardinals. The Cardinals in 2011, they were a wild card team too. And then the San Francisco Giants. Oh,
that's right,
Giants,
the Cardinals, man. That was with, that's right, Pujols, Molina.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Wainwright. Oh, man, mm-hmm. That was a good team.
Yeah, they've always had decent teams, but that team, yeah, that team was crazy. 100%.
Wasn't Carlos Beltran on that team?
No, I don't think, no, Beltran wasn't on that team.
He was on the Houston. Cardinals, though.
He played for Houston.
He played for St. Louis, yes. One of the years they won it or made it, he played for the Cardinals. I'll look it up. I'll look it up. Hold that thought.
Okay, no problem. So, yeah, a lot of good teams, man. You know, that the wild card isn't a joke. You know, it's not like, you know, we just made it to the wild card and now we're going to get destroyed. Nah, this is proof that the wild card is a serious situation. If you make the postseason through a wild card, you actually have a shot at winning the whole thing, you know, which is pretty crazy. We see how the Phillies did it. The Phillies, you know, the last 2 years, they came in as a wild card and they went pretty far. So first year they made it to the World Series and the second year they made it to the NLCS. So, and look at all these teams that we're mentioning now. It's pretty crazy, you know. Florida Marlins, I remember that team. That team was great. You know, the Angels, like you said. Boston, when they had that amazing run, they were really a force out there. And then St. Louis, that team, Molina and Wainwright and Pujols, they definitely had a squad.
Yeah, he was on St. Louis. I think that was the year. He definitely was on St. Louis. On his bio, it says one of the teams that he played for. It doesn't say what year, but he played for the Cardinals.
Got you. Okay. And then the other team behind that is the San Francisco Giants in 2014.
Oh, I forgot about the Giants, man.
Yes, the Giants.
Brian Wilson, the beard. Oh, my gosh. What do you call it? What was the catcher's name again?
Catcher's name, man. I can't remember his name. In 2014? Oh, you're talking about Posey?
Yeah, Posey was there. Posey. They had I already forgot the starting pitcher's name. He just went to the Cardinals. He was on the Diamondbacks last year.
Oh, I can't remember. But they also had what's his name?
Tim Lincecum.
Oh my God! Yes. So, like I said, you make the wild card, you really have a shot. And then the other team, the team that you know, Mr. Soto came from. The Nationals in 2019, they were a wild card as well.
That's right, the Nationals. That was an exciting team, man. They had Harper too. Yeah, they had Harper. No, was Harper already there? No, he left. That was the year. Yeah. The first year in Philadelphia, they won. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, that was an exciting team. They had that guy. His name was Doolittle. He was their closer. He was really good.
Yes, I remember that.
But they had Strasburg. That's right. They had Strasburg as one of their starters. Strasburg.
Yes.
They still had Anthony Rendon. He's the guy that's in LA now. He
was
the
third baseman, I think. Was Scherzer still there?
Yeah, he won. I think he won with them. Yeah, I think he won. Yeah, I think he won with the Nationals. Yeah,
I think it sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
That sounds about right, yeah. So, yeah, they had a
squad. That was what, 2019?
2019, yes.
I forgot about them. So, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. If you're a wild card team, you have an uphill climb. You know, there's pros and cons to being a wild card team. The pro is you don't have much break. So, you continue to have momentum going in.
Yes.
Going into the season, you know what I mean?
And it's a difference maker. It is. Because, yeah. You know, it's a difference maker. Because you continue to stay, if you're hot, you're going to continue to stay hot. And you know, because you know, rest hurts. It does. I don't care what anybody says. If you're sitting and waiting, you're not playing, you know, that edge, you know, you lose the edge. And then, of course, the Rangers last year, right? So, you know, you hit one, you miss with the Phillies, but we're coming to the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week when we actually have the results of what happened on this trade deadline and who was willing to deplete their farm system to get one of those guys Lasha mentioned tonight, because that's what's going to happen. These guys aren't worth that much, but right now at the moment, they're gold. You guys have a good night, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace, Lash.
See you, bro.